It is so good and refreshing to step into a new phase and recognize that God has been faithful and will continue to be faithful. I want you to think for just a second back to Paul. Paul found himself with this huge desire to get to Rome to share the gospel, and for reasons of obstacles in front of him, he couldn't get to Rome, and so he writes this incredible letter. An incredible letter to the church of here's what it looks like to find Jesus and to follow Jesus and to make your way. And that letter has paved way into our scriptures, and it was one of the most exhaustive and powerful letters for you and I to have to experience what it means to follow Jesus. Paul never let the obstacles in front of him stop him from making sure the gospel reached people. I feel a lot like Paul in this season, right? Obstacle after obstacle, and yet can we all just take a deep breath wherever we are and recognize that through obstacles, God paves way for maybe more beautiful things than we could ever grasp or imagine to take place. The reality is, to those of you sitting in the West venue, it is great to see your face behind a mask and trust that you are smiling. To those of you sitting in the East venue, we are so glad that you are there. But right now, we also have an online venue where people are gathered in meaningful ways to worship, and we welcome you. And to those of you that are having house gatherings and inviting your friends and your family into this time together, God is making way for people to get to hear and experience the goodness of Himself. So we lean into that as a church, committed to journeying through this together, wanting to lift high the name of Jesus in the process. And we are in this series, right? New Sings a Song. It's a series about worship, and we've been asking each other to kind of stretch, to be challenged in this. Maybe you have had my experience in elementary school when the music teacher brought out one of these things. And she had a name for it, but the name didn't really matter because when she handed it to me, it was a big whistle. And the problem is that for me, no matter how hard she taught, no matter how much she worked with me, it has always just remained a big whistle. I now have my kids going through elementary school and they're receiving this instrument. They call it a recorder, but when they bring it home, it's still just a big whistle. For Dad. You see, I have a feeling that many of us feel like this when it comes to a conversation on worship. We have been handed this instrument by God to use to make a song, to make music to the ears of God and to humanity, and yet it just feels like a stinking whistle. We don't know what to do with it. We're uncomfortable. We don't know where to put our fingers, our hands, our feet, our voice, our life. And so we continue to wrestle. Why? Because, well, not everybody has to play a whistle, a recorder. God has gifted us. I want you to see what the psalmist writes in Psalm chapter 40, verse 3. It says, "He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." Do you see it? He put a new song in our mouth. God's doing that for you. When you pursue Him in worship, you can rest assured that He is going to well up inside of your spirit a new song, and it is meant to come out of your mouth and out of your life in a way that does what? Well, it brings praise to God. Why? Because it helps people see, fear, and trust Jesus as the Lord. As we've been walking through this series, we've been using John chapter 4 to guide us and to inspire us to consider walking in as new worshipers, transformed worshipers, people that are honoring God with our life. And this is the text we've launched from. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And some people hear that and then you feel like you've been handed a whistle. I don't know what to do with that. Well, the great thing is, it's not about what you have to do with that. It's what God is going to do in you and through you as you pursue Him in a lifestyle of worship. So through this series, I just want to walk us through it. We started out saying that true life change brings about true worship. Do you remember back to John chapter 3 when Nicodemus found himself a religious man, a civil leader, a man of high regard among his community? He knew what he ought to do, and yet when Jesus came, it felt different. It felt like there was a new song starting to stir, that there was a new lyric to be articulated. And so what does he do? He goes to Jesus by night and he starts asking him questions. And Jesus's response to him is, well, I need to put a new song in you. The language there is you need to be reborn. Nicodemus, you're physically alive, but your spirit is dead. And I want to resurrect that. I want to do something with that. And Nicodemus walks away, having experienced the opportunity to step into true life change, but we all know worship is a journey. We all know that walking with Jesus is a process. And we see in Nicodemus' account that if you'll follow John all the way to the end of the book, you'll see that Nicodemus is there, ready with his instrument to worship in the burial of Jesus by anointing him with oil. Right, this process is a matter of us being willing to experience true life change in that process. But true worship sings a unique song. This isn't our attempt to sing Nicodemus's song. You were told and have been encouraged to explore what song God has placed in you. You recognize that you're, you know, one in billions, that you have a unique call on your life. You were created on purpose for a purpose. And when we choose not to individually express ourselves in worship, not only does God not get what he created you for, you miss out on becoming the best version of what he created you to be and to do. And not only do God not get what he ultimately desires, and you don't become ultimately who you were created to be, but those in which you live among don't get to see the fullest glimpse of God here on this earth. You were created to sing a unique song. And then we came in and said true worship is found in wrestling with the truth. And it's in this John 4 text that we have found a genuine wrestling, right? Where this Samaritan woman, and you know this Samaritan woman, well, she's a woman and thus she has no status in her culture. But not only does she not have status, she has a reputation that is not healthy. And Jesus meets her at a well. Not at a time when anybody else would be there. He meets her under the full sun of the afternoon. And when he meets her there, she hasn't just been married once, twice, three, four times, but literally the man she's currently with is not her husband. She's got an identity crisis. She's not sure what to do. And, well, she wrestles. And we're going to look further into her story yet today, but I want to move us to what we heard last week. That true worship is filled with gratitude. That when you and I pursue Jesus in worship, we have the promise that no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what our situation is, God is with us. And we should be grateful that the God of the universe cares so deeply about us that he would walk with us. And so today we're going to wrap this series up saying true worship leads to an outward expression. We Americans got to be real careful here. We believe and have equated that a personal relationship with Jesus leads to a private declaration of that. That's not the case at all. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you can't help but to express that to the people you come into contact with. And so what does it look like to be emboldened? To move our recorder from a whistle to an instrument in which God receives worship and people get to experience his goodness. Jump in your Bibles, John chapter 4. It's on page 24 in the Journaling Bibles. We're going to start in verse 39. But while you're getting to John chapter 4, can I just share with you this question that the Samaritan woman asks? She has experienced genuine life change when she meets Jesus, and Jesus wrestles with authority how her life should be a declaration of spirit and truth, and it's clearly not that. And after meeting with Jesus, this is her question. Not just to Jesus, but to the people that she walks to. She says, can this be the Christ? Think about that question. Can this be the Christ? Some of you need to ask that question in your current situation. This stirring, this wrestling, this thing that's going on inside of you, is this Jesus trying to resurrect a new transformed song for the season that is in front of you, for you to pursue? But we also need to be willing to be emboldened enough to ask this question in the right timing, with the right tone, and a commitment to journey with people in the process. But when people have anxiety, when people are scared, when people don't seem to think that their life is meshing up in all the right places, are we bold enough to step into their life and say, could this be the Christ? Could this be Jesus trying to stir in your life in a way to give you a new song, to transform you, to move you? Not, is Jesus causing this to happen to you? No, no, no. Are your current life situation, is it happening because Jesus wants to get your attention? Could this be the Christ? This question that the Samaritan woman asked transforms the people that she lives among. Let's look at the text. John chapter 4, verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Think about this for a second. Many Samaritans believed. Not some. Not her inner circle, the people that are easy to persuade. Many believed. Some of you have grown up in a small town, and you know what small town living is like. You know that people know more about your business than you often know about your business. You notice where she's at, right? Many Samaritans from the town, her town. You remember who she is? They know so much about her, and yet, despite all that's going on in her broken life, they lean into pursuing Jesus, the one who has the authority to transform her. And what do? They don't just listen to her. They're not got an empathetic ear to her situation. It says they believed in him because of what? The woman's testimony. She moved from reckless to wrestling. And in that space, Jesus was doing a redemptive work in her life. And it shows in the fact that the text tells us he told her all that he ever did. You see, Jesus has the authority. He knows you and me and those we live among better than we know ourselves. And he'll meet us at whatever well, at whatever time, under any circumstances, to give us the option to pursue him in worship, that he might write a new lyric on our heart and produce a new song that should come out of our mouth. But the text doesn't stop there. Look at verse 40. So when the Samaritan came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. The Samaritan woman is experiencing life change, and that has piqued some curiosity. But the curiosity is now moving into a conversation. A conversation that's going to take a little bit more time. And so they literally ask Jesus, will you stick around for a while? Can I encourage us when it comes to worship, when it comes to singing a new song and helping other people find their unique voice in this new song, is some of us like task list. Some of us like planning. Some of us like agendas and schedules, rhythms and routines. If there's anything that this season has taught us, is we can't always live by those things. A plan isn't a bad thing, but Jesus himself, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world, had much to do. He was ready to leave. And when people started asking about what they might do to sing a new song, curiosity moved to a conversation which rearranged Jesus' schedule, and he threw in a couple extra coffee dates. He bought a few more people lunch, and he committed to getting up a lot earlier to making sure that these people could continue the conversation. And look at the results of Jesus' willingness to pursue his Father in worship. It says, and many more, not the first set, the many more who had already been in this conversation now chose to believe because of his word. Now, if you've been around the book of John with us, you know something about this word. You remember in John chapter 1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and chose to dwell among us. Our worship produces a curiosity in people, which leads to conversation, and that conversation leads to commitment. And you see, for these Samaritan people who were outsiders, they had heard of a sacred text. They had heard of this lyric that was important to the living of their life. But now all of a sudden, the word that had authority was becoming human. And it was becoming real. And it was producing a stirring, a wrestling, the ability to transform their actual life. And it says, that word is what they trusted. But the text goes on, and this may be one of my favorite spots in the book of John. Look what happens. It says, they said to the woman, the Samaritan woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Now, this text is incredible. You sink in for a second. Who's the Samaritan woman? And yet God took her whistle and led a song of worship in a way that many people were encouraged and transformed. But it wasn't the woman that they stuck with. We've got to be really, really, really careful. You see, we are called by God to sing a new song, to be transformed in the way that we live. And when people see our life, they will certainly become curious. If we get them in conversation, I bet the word of God, the presence of Jesus in their life will lead them to commitment. But some of us struggle once we get there to wanting to have people sing our song. No. Do you see what the Samaritan woman does? She takes the advice of what John the Baptist just said earlier. He says, I am not the Messiah. I just point to the Messiah. I must decrease that he might increase. And the Samaritan woman does the same thing. She's emboldened. Can this be the Christ? Can he actually be the one who knows me better than I know myself? And he walks with me and transforms me. And as she shares that story, people follow her. And this woman is now being recognized for the right types of things. But do you notice where the motive of her heart is? Well, it's been renewed. It's been transformed. So rather than being recognized for something that she is or what she can do, she's like, whoa, I've been transformed. And she actually steps out of the way so that people can just clearly have access to the Jesus that has saved her. And if you saw it in the text, they no longer sang her song, they sang their song. Would we be such worshipers that would live in a way that expresses boldly who God is and what God is doing in our life? And allow that to get us into conversations and allow that to help people be committed to Jesus? And will we have the humility then to step out of the way? And though they won't sing the song we sing, the way we want them to sing it, the way we would choose to express it, will we allow them to sing the song that God has stirred in their heart? You see, true worship leads itself to an outward expression. An outward expression that declares all of who God is and why he is worthy to be worshiped. True worship leads to an outward expression in which that which God is transforming and stirring inside of us can't help but be shared with others. But it also leads to an outward expression where we get out of the way and point people directly to Jesus. Each week, we gather to intentionally pursue God in worship. And I recognize that some of us just feel like we've been handed a big whistle and we don't know what to do next. And can I just let you know that it is not about what you do next. We gather each week around the life, the death, and the resurrection and the ruling reign of Jesus to be reminded it is not about us. It has always been and will forever be about Jesus, the one whom is the Christ. And so communion can often be a lot of things, but today it is going to be an outward expression of our worship. Asking God to embolden us in our faith that we might sing our new song, that other people might receive their new song. And so this morning we're going to take communion together. If you're in one of our on-site venues, this may be new to you. These little packets have a clear tab. Go ahead and peel that one back and you should have a wafer. If you're online, feel free at this point to grab whatever you have as the bread. Together we look at the life of Jesus and we commit to pursuing Jesus as the way and the best way to find our voice in worship. Let's eat together. And the next layer is a little more foil-like. Go ahead and peel that back. And we lift up the blood of Jesus as the blood that we take to be reminded that this has never been about us, but is always about the one who's in the process of redeeming us. So we drink of this life together. Father, we are so thankful that from the very beginning you started a song in which we all were gifted to be a part of it. And Father, certainly those of us who have had our garden experience where we have sinned and we have messed it all up, we know that oftentimes our worship to us is a mere whistle. But in your Son, Jesus, we know that it can become a real instrument of worship, one that brings you honor, our self-redemption, and others an opportunity to pursue their song in worship. So, Father, we thank you so much for the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. But Father, we don't just stop with our gratitude there. We continue in our gratitude with the fact that your Son Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, continues to indwell us and stir within us and keeps helping us find our voice day by day, week by week, season by season, for all of eternity. We want to sing a new song. In Jesus' name. Amen.